This episode of the Way of the Warrior podcast is brought to you by Onnit Supplements, onnit.com. That's where you can get hooked up with Alpha Brain or the Warrior Bars or any sort of workout equipment that you might need in the world to get ready for 2015 if you're working on your New Year's resolution. Or if you've broken it, then you should attend Triumph Gym. Try and find them online at the Triumph Training Center because they will get you right back into shape and get you done in the way that you need to get done. Episode 259 starts now. It's Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out. Here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken, talking about everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And it's once again been a very busy week and a win for the UFC. Why? Well, because the UFC has finally done something to get Ken Evans excited about a tiny person fight.
Whee!
Conor McGregor, his drubbing of Dennis Seaver was, I think, exactly what that weight class needed. I know that you and I, Ken, have talked sort of offline before the show started that you're not super sure that Conor McGregor is
going to do
that to Aldo. But
I want to explain this too because I think some people would just assume that, oh, you must be on the Conor McGregor train. And I respect Conor McGregor. He's who he is. I just don't know necessarily if he's going to win in this fight. My favorite part, obviously, of the fight is what happens afterwards. Whatever happened in the cage. That was cool. I figured he lost, though, because he didn't do it in 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, you were saying this the other day.
Okay, I'm going to diverge for just a minute.
Sure.
I think it would be an awesome idea. How many times do we look at a fight and go, this fight shouldn't even happen. This is just, they're putting it on Fight Pass. They're doing what they're doing. They're trying to set a guy up. How cool would it be if they put in stipulations like that? Like, you know, Conor, we're setting this up for you, but it's actually going to be a draw if you don't beat him within 3 minutes. Go. That
yes.
would be. Can we do that?
I mean,
Dana's put a schedule on Fight Pass after I mentioned it on the show. He's made the app better. The rankings have changed around. I'm just saying, I've said these things before they happen. So now we may have stipulations in UFC fights. I'm going to take all the credit for that if it happens.
As you should. So back to what actually happened, though.
Sorry.
Conor McGregor did what he said he was going to do. And in the first round, made Dennis Seaver, you know, when you just said a second ago, this fight shouldn't even happen.
Now, I don't know if that's the fight that I would say that about.
No, and I'm not saying that, but it looked like Dennis Seaver did not look like he was even in the same universe as Conor McGregor. So when you talk about how good is Conor McGregor, he makes a guy who is as decorated and dangerous as Dennis Seaver look like it's one of those fights Ken's alluding to where you have to win in a minute or you actually lose.
Yeah, it was a good fight. It was a good showcase for Conor McGregor. Where's he from?
I'm not really sure.
I don't know why the UFC doesn't mention that. Wikipedia says Ireland. Oh, he's Irish. Okay. It was a great win in Boston for Conor McGregor. It was a great win for the UFC ratings-wise. I mean, this is one of those where they caught me out of left field because you saw my tweet over the weekend. I saw you tweeting on Saturday. I saddled up to the TV. By the way, I'm a contributor on a mixed martial arts radio program. I'm paying attention to what's going on. I saddled up to my TV on Saturday. So where's the UFC? What's going on?
How come I can't?
Which I think tells you their messaging is a little off and I need to drink less. Both, there's probably a contributing factor, both. I was very surprised that they were going to go with the Sunday night UFC. Obviously, MLK Day was the next day, so a lot of people had the day off of work. They did great in the ratings considering they had NFL games all day, which they were able to promote a little in the Fox game. But I don't know if you trade that promotion as much as a habit to watch UFC. They did great in the ratings. It was the best Fox Sports card they've done, right?
It was the most watched mixed martial arts event ever to grace Fox Sports 1. Average of 2.75 million viewers. And then when the guy from whatever country he's from, I don't really know where McGregor's from.
Yeah, I think it's in the UK somewhere.
Yeah, I heard of it or once or twice. When he steps in, the Irishman brings in 3.1 million viewers to watch him finish Dennis Seaver and then leap into the crowd attempting to do what was your favorite part of the fight, which was, I guess, intimidate Jose Aldo, which looked like he had seen that one or 700 different times, so was not fazed in the slightest.
Well, you made a great point. In Brazil, you might get stabbed grocery shopping. So a guy, standing in front of you in the crowd. Who did we ever figure out who that little girl was?
I don't know.
I imagine she has to be related to Aldo or something, because that little girl wasn't fazed. She wanted like an autograph. She's like, oh, this is great.
Oh, you're coming right to me. That's awesome.
She wasn't scared either. Jose Aldo, it was amazing because he just stared at him. I do think the UFC missed an opportunity, and maybe they're a little skittish after what happened with Jones and Cormier, because those guys were supposed to be in the cage together and do that little post-fight announcement kind of deal and do their little face-to-face. After what happened where he jumped in the crowd, you obviously saw Jose Aldo do his thing on the outside of the cage while I think Conor had either gone back or he was still in the cage. I think we lost a bit of a moment there, but we had a big enough one where I'm going, okay, you know what? I'm going to pay for this. I think now we can move along here, and we can talk a little bit more about the card, obviously, in a second. I just think, and as impressive as Conor McGregor was, I think he's getting a little out of his depth if he's going to be trying to play these games with Jose Aldo, because I think Jose's a much better competitor than anybody he's ever faced in his career, and he's a guy that you're not going to mess with mind games, really.
You're not going to mess with him with mind games, but again, you and I have been talking all week about this, that let's remember, and I know that he said he was sick, he had a fever, he wasn't at 100%, but when you step into the octagon, those excuses, I don't really find them to be valid.
Mm-hmm.
There was a moment where Jose Aldo nearly got beat by Mark Hominick and had to go, you know, many, many rounds in with the Korean Zombie. So it's not like he's the scariest man in the UFC and unbeatable.
No, but he was a couple months ago.
While he is unbeatable, right? He hasn't been beat in this current universe. I just think, while you think he's getting out of his depth, I just think Conor McGregor presents some very interesting stylistic things for Jose Aldo that... Will he win? I don't have any idea, but Memorial Day weekend, I'm all in. You've got my $60. I'll pay for the $60 right now.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that Conor McGregor, because I criticized Jon Jones for not doing this. Conor McGregor's owning what he is and who he is and what he wants to be in that cage. And you can see the response. I'm going to talk here, and somebody's going to get mad. I don't know if your UFC heavyweight champion is going to draw those numbers on a Sunday night the way Conor McGregor did.
3.1 million? I don't know. I mean, it depends on who he... The only caveat being the guy that we constantly bring up. If you put Kane and Brock on a Sunday night...
Oh, well, yeah.
Yes, right? But yeah. Kane by himself? I don't know. Because the problem with Kane is not that he's not a draw, but he's been...
Is he technically the champ right now?
Yes, he's technically the champ. Yeah. Verdum has the interim belt.
That's right. Verdum's interim.
You know, those two guys... Kane's been away for so long that, you know, it's up to fate to see what happens when those two actually get in the ring and see what that pay-per-view buy is. Because remember, we had this same sort of deal with Jon Jones a little while back. When he was the champion, he wasn't drawing as big as George St. Pierre. He wasn't drawing as big as Chael Sonnen. He wasn't drawing as big as, you know, some of the other guys, and that was just because of who he was and perhaps who he was fighting. But you put him with Daniel Cormier, right? They have huge, huge numbers, right?
Jones has always had pretty good numbers.
Good, but
though.
Not what you would expect for given how awesome he is. Same with Anderson Silva. There's some, you know, ever since...
And that was the standard, too, when Jon Jones... Remember, Jon Jones had that title forever. That was the standard we were setting, was Anderson Silva after some of those wars with Chael Sonnen, even though that second fight didn't go that well for Chael. That's the guy that made Anderson Silva.
But
you had to have a guy. Well, now you had, I think you can thank Alexander Gustafsson even more than Cormier at this point, because you've got a point where Jon Jones looked beatable. And so we're going to keep tuning in to see when that happens. Oh, is it a fighter? Is it addiction? What's going to win? I don't know.
And we'll talk about Jon Jones here in a little bit.
Because we can't get through a show without doing it.
But yeah, when you go back to the Damian Maia Anderson Silva fight, Anderson ruined his marketability in that fight, right?
Well,
I'm not going to pay for this garbage ever again.
We were sitting in a bar, I think it was, that night, and we looked at that and we go, oh, well, congratulations. Just killed your career, dude.
Right.
You're toast. And he pretty much was. Even Dana said that at that point. I think Anderson had to fight on a free card after that.
Is that true?
I'd have to look that back up. I swear I saw him on Spike or something after that.
Yeah, that very much
like,
could be.
Like he had to fight after that and basically work his way back up. Because I remember Dana was upset about that. If you remember, they went to Abu Dhabi for the first time for that card.
They built the arena
for that, essentially. It's Ferrari Arena.
Yep.
So that's a thing. Abu Dhabi.
Because it should be.
And, you know, he was mad about that. And you know, guys got to make other guys, and you got to have signature fights. We've already gotten to see some of that because Conor McGregor makes his own signature fights in these events at this point. And we saw what he did to Dennis Seaver. Tough, tough dude. And he leapt out of the cage, walked right up to the champ, said, I want you next. He probably deserves him next. Even if he didn't deserve him next, he was going to make himself be next. And I got to appreciate when a guy does that.
Absolutely. And to the point that we're making here is that Conor McGregor, whether or not you think he can beat Jose Aldo, just put Jose Aldo in the money category. People are going to buy that fight. 3.1 million people on a Sunday night. On a Sunday night.
On the East Coast at essentially midnight.
Midnight, right? So, like, those numbers are at parity with some episodes of The Walking Dead that airs at 9 o'clock.
What's Walking Dead? I thought The Walking Dead was doing, like, 10 now. Are you talking about, like, a couple seasons ago?
But, like, some of those episodes.
So, soon, Conor McGregor will
But what I'm saying is, like, for Sunday night television at 9 o'clock, even if it is 10 million, to do half of that at midnight is a giant number.
And I will clearly admit, I was wrong in this matter. A lot of times we'll see UFC stumble, and I'll go, hey, look, I told them. I would have had this entirely wrong, this Sunday night card. I would never put it on Sunday night. I know I'm a little biased. You know, I'm a guy who's got a 4:30 alarm in the morning.
You've got to get up at 3 in the morning. Right?
Right, exactly. So I'm a little biased on that end, but this was a big win for them. Jim Ross called it a big win on Twitter, too, considering the NFL. And I think they got to be really happy with this card. This might be their signature card so far of the year, even though you obviously had the pay-per-view with Cormier and Jones.
And I've been talking to Sean all week about how what a different year this first 3 weeks of January have been for the UFC versus 2014, right? They have had amazing event after amazing event leading into amazing event, right? This weekend, we've got Alexander Gustafsson and Anthony Johnson. We'll talk about that in a little bit. 2 weeks from now, we've got Nate Diaz and Anderson Silva. That's actually, yeah, 1 week from now.
When would you have thought things would have gotten so out of control that it took you a second to remember the Nate Diaz Anderson Silva fight.
And it's Nick Diaz, like as I'm stumbling through. This is Nick and Anderson. That's on pay per view on the 31st.
Remember the stipulations? Can he fight both? John Cena does it all the time and does great.
So yeah, you've got. I mean, and that rounds out January. I just want you to like frame that for a second. That was January. Nick Diaz and Anderson Silva is the cherry on top to 1 month of 2015.
Yeah, but let's not forget Donald Cerrone tried to ruin it.
he did try and ruin it.
Did you like that fight?
I did not like that fight, and I didn't like it for a couple of reasons. I had the benefit of being able to call Sean Sunday afternoon before this happened, and I said, hey, I know you couldn't get on the show, but if you were on the show, the question I wanted to ask you was, if you were Donald Cerrone, what would you have done? And he said, well, you've got to understand this. Donald Cerrone drives from event to event, so it's even though it was 2 weeks' notice, it's technically 6.5 days because he's got to drive there.
Okay.
And if I only had 6.5 days...
Wait, the UFC's not flying dudes in, or Donald doesn't fly?
No, they do. He doesn't. He drives his crazy RV.
He's like the John Madden of the UFC.
Exactly. So he drives to these places. He said, if I was that, I would run, and I would just visualize what I wanted to do to Benson Henderson and just do that over and over again. Go on long runs at a nice pace. Don't sprint. Don't go crazy. Because in the world of fighting, he went through a full camp and then did the deed, right? He had a full fight.
Right.
And he said, but here's what you need to watch for. And I know this is going to sound like I'm going in reverse order, like I'm telling you what happened after it happened. But this is what happened Sunday afternoon. He goes, this is what's going to happen. Once and I've had a couple fighters do this, but I took a fight on 2 weeks' notice. Very first fight I had, round one knocks the guy out, and I was offered a fight 2 weeks later, which I took since I didn't have a full fight. I got into that fight, and I won that fight, but it took me all the way to decision. And because I felt like in the middle of the second round, I was in quicksand. I just didn't have anything left. And that's exactly what I saw out of Cowboy Cerrone on Sunday night, was that first round was very, very fun. And then once we got to second and then third, it was like Donald was in slow motion and Benson Henderson, which I feel should have been a little bit more aggressive,
yeah,
could have finished that fight.
Well, let's not forget that Benson Henderson, for all of his ups and downs lately, he's a dude that can do 5 rounds.
Sure.
So, again, this is one of those fights. You add 2 more on it, I don't think Donald Cerrone wins this fight.
Oh, not at all. I would say I'm not somebody who's screaming robbery. And
No.
I had to say that 13 times on Twitter so people didn't blow up my account. I just
He was robbed.
I just... I don't think he was robbed. I just did not see it at all that way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Benson did more stuff. I mean, if you're counting like point karate, right? Is it how many times that Cerrone touches Henderson? That's
right.
How we're going to score it. Okay, maybe. But Benson had harder shots, was doing more damage, and I think overall controlled the fight more than Cerrone did. And I just think robbery, no, it could have gone either way easily. I just think when you hear the numbers out loud, it didn't really resonate with me as an actual decision.
How interesting is this that he was the guy that would go out and get it for a while? I mean, not that he's not doing that, and the guy fought twice in 2 weeks, so I'm not going to criticize him for that. But it was used to be, you know, the Jim Miller KO when he was able to submit Enson Barboza.
Sure.
You know, I think he had a big KO on the Fox card before that. That's what we were expecting from Donald Cerrone. Goes in against Eddie Alvarez. Now, no, by no means is Eddie Alvarez a pushover or a highlight fight for any dude. He gets a win. That's great for Donald Cerrone. But then he fights Miles, who he seemed to have a lot of motivation against. Still couldn't finish the guy. And, okay, cool. Oh, you're going to fight again? Oh, man, this guy's a badass. Look at him go in there. Oof. In the middle of that fight against Benson Henderson. Again, no pushover in Benson Henderson. These are high-caliber dudes. But Donald Cerrone, the brand, might want to take a little bit of a break and figure out where he wants to go. Because what he's going to end up doing is he was a guy, oh, should we be arguing that he's at the top of the card? To now a guy where we go, oh, I don't know if he's really ready for that shot yet. I don't know where we put him yet. And I think a couple fights ago, that shows how interesting it is with these fighters. A couple fights ago, if you would have put him, say, after the Eddie Alvarez fight, it's funny enough because he ends up against Miles Jury, which I think is the other end of that top 10 spectrum. You really wouldn't have argued if he would have had a title shot, if they could have made things work and the puzzle pieces
sure.
would have landed. But coming after this last fight, and again, took two fights in 2 weeks, but I think you would go, well, I don't know if I want him in there yet.
Well, and he's going to take a break, but what's interesting is...
which is good, and he should.
Yeah, but what's interesting is Nurmagomedov already called him out because, obviously, Dos Anjos and Pettis are locked up for a title fight. So, you know, Cerrone said, when they asked him what's next, he said he was going to take a break, but he'd like Nurmagomedov. And Nurmagomedov said, I know you want to take a break, but how about, would you be ready by April? Because I'll be ready by April. Do you want to do this in April? I'm good for April. And I don't know if that's a long enough break, especially for the...
It would have been.
Yes, it would have been, but I mean, for the brand perspective, as you're talking about, I don't know that's a long enough break.
Yeah, I don't know either. And let's not kid ourselves here. He just beat a top five dude, and he did it in his second fight in 2 weeks. So a lot of credit going to him. It's just interesting to kind of watch this. And when you're a guy and you're a brand and you're Donald Cerrone and you're that guy that goes out there and finishes and you have the KOs and you have what that next step for the UFC needs to be, because I mean, we're looking at lightweight. And it's a division right now that could use some spark somewhere. We like Anthony Pettis. We don't know exactly what he's going to do as far as drawing for a pay-per-view. I think we would all say that, right?
Yeah, well, and it's certainly with Rafael, right? Because Rafael's not the guy.
Rafael, great fighter.
Great fighter, but not a guy that's going to sell pay-per-view dollars for you.
No, I mean your guy with the most dollars in there at this point. I'm looking down the list here, and you got to get probably – Nate Diaz is ranked 14th right now. And it's just simply because his name is Diaz. I mean, this is one of those divisions where we don't know a ton of dudes. You've got Gil Melendez still in there, who obviously from a fan standpoint and guys like us, yeah, we know who Gil is. Gil's still really kind of an unknown out there. He
sure.
got his title shot, didn't get out of it. I mean, he was a guy that we wanted to see in there. Him and Benson are kind of floating around with each other. Benson's had his runs. Is he coming back for another one? I don't know. He took a relatively short fight notice. He's coming back in April, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So he's going to take that fight in April. He's filling in, I think, for Bobby Green, who's going to be out of that fight. So it's an interesting division to watch. I don't think we're going to see him anywhere but on like Fox Sports 1 or maybe Fox Sports cards at this point. So it'll be interesting. Pettis, we're going to see. He gets to, what, do the pay-per-view in, what, 3 months? 2 months? 3 months?
I'd have to look. 3 months, yes.
Yeah, I'm catching up still.
And then obviously the other two fights of note. One, I told you the Larkin Howard fight you should pay attention to, as Lorenz Larkin just absolutely plowed through Doomsday and ended that fight in the first round. And also in the first round, which you know, it's hard to have a decision on this as far as like an opinion of what a win over Ron Stallings means for Uriah Hall. But he's a guy that ends this thing in a minute and 22 seconds, and he's in and out, and a guy that is probably ready for another test. As it was clear that his finale fight for The Ultimate Fighter did not go the way that he wanted it to go, obviously, right? But ever since then, he's been a dude that you just absolutely want to see succeed, and he has done just that. He doesn't care who you put in there. He's just going to get it done, and that's exactly what he did. And so while not a marquee win, because it was, again, a fight on 1 week's notice, 4 days technically, still a win and still a guy who probably needs an actual opponent to do a full camp and see what is next for Uriah Hall.
Well, he stopped apologizing to dudes after the fight, so that's a step forward, right?
That is, yes, that is.
We've actually got Pettis Dos Anjos, by the way, coming up in March.
So that's the 14th with the Matt Brown Hendricks fight.
Yeah, that's 185, so that should be interesting. Roy Nelson, Alistair is on that, if you're going to look at the co-main event.
I will totally.
Your strawweight title fight. They came up with that weight division during my break from the show.
They did. During your break from the show, Carla Esparza will be defending her belt at UFC 185.
Carla Esparza, Anthony Pettis? A million buys. A million buys.
I don't know why you got to be like
no,
that.
No, I'm not like anything. I'm just...
You're exactly like that.
Wow. American Airlines are in Dallas. Don't they want to try to get something done in Jerry World there? Is this what we're doing? Pettis and the lady?
Yes, Pettis and the lady.
I'm just asking.
You are the worst.
That's
literally.
Coming after, by the way, Weidman Belfort, so that won't get overshadowed at all.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about UFC Stockholm. We'll talk about John Jones and the apology, and all of it is next.
Did they call it the syndrome?
Okay.
No?
We'll be back. It's Way of the Warrior.